A standard real estate deal is based on a simple principle. A willing buyer and a willing seller agree on what both sides see as a fair price. But there are situations where a buyer can force the sale of property and control almost every step of the purchase. These cases pit private landowners against the state. It's what's known as eminent domain. Over the next 2 days, we'll examine how eminent domain is being used right now in North Carolina and the debate those practices have stirred in Raleigh. It's a series we're calling The State's Domain. Here's WFAE's Tom Bullock.
For property owners, stopping their land from being taken is nearly impossible. That's why Renee Wilmot is preparing for what she knows will come.
The state's taking land. The state's taking the sticks and the bricks of my house. But to me, it's my home.
Her living room is now a warren of cardboard moving boxes, mismatched furniture, and stacks of clothes.
This is all yard sale stuff, stuff that I'm going to get rid of.
Last June, Wilmot was told the North Carolina Department of Transportation was using eminent domain to claim her property. Wilmot had just retired after 30 years of teaching public school. Wilmot's three-bedroom, 1,600-square-foot house in Concord is being taken because it sits just a few blocks away from this. A section of I-85 where the highway goes from four lanes each way down to just two. That's something that will be changed, says Jordan Ashley Walker, spokeswoman for the North Carolina Department of Transportation.
It's essentially a $187 million project that is interstate widening with some interchange improvements.
Renee Wilmot's house will be torn down to make way for one of those interchange improvements. And she's just one of some 200 home and business owners that will lose their property in this project alone. Their story shows the natural tension at the heart of eminent domain cases, private rights versus public good. Under North Carolina law, state and local governments and some private corporations and utilities have the right to claim private land for anything deemed of, quote, public use or benefit. That is a very broad term, says Jason Campbell, a lawyer who represents landowners in eminent domain cases.
They can force you to sell all or part of your property to the state whenever the state wants.
Eminent domain can be used to make way for things like parks and pipelines. A proposed constitutional amendment making its way through Raleigh would bar the state from using eminent domain to take property and then sell that land to a private company for development. But the majority of eminent domain claims in North Carolina are made by the NCDOT, and that would not be affected by the bill. Now, the DOT is required by law to pay a fair market price for the property, but nearly the entire process of determining that price is controlled solely by the state. That process begins with a face-to-face meeting, says the DOT's Walker.
Once we reach out to that property owner, we'll begin an appraisal of the property. The appraisal becomes the offer. It's no more or no less.
It sounds like a straightforward process, but it's not that clear-cut, says lawyer Jason Campbell.
There is something of a disconnect between what the property owner expects and what the DOT is actually doing.
Take that appraisal. It's done either by a DOT employee or a subcontractor pre-approved by the state. And the details of an appraisal, that's not something property owners automatically get to see. But, says Walker,
they can request a copy of the appraisal.
State law mandates that only the land and things permanently attached to the land, things like buildings, are appraised. What those structures are used for is irrelevant. That limitation is bad for businesses, says Campbell.
What if you owned a McDonald's franchise or you owned small business, maybe it's your office location? And they put you out of business. Well, they don't pay for any business damages.
For homeowners, there are other problems. The appraisal is for current fair market value, which is what you would expect under normal circumstances. But remember, these are people being forced to sell now.
I mean, we all know the recession has occurred, property values have dropped, and so there are a lot of people who are underwater.
Meaning they owe more for their mortgage than the house is worth.
And those people run the risk of losing their property, losing all the proceeds from the condemnation, and still having an outstanding mortgage.
That worried homeowner Renee Wilmot. Her mortgage is about $80,000. Wilmot hoped the state's offer would cover that and be enough for a good down payment on another house.
Because I do not want, at this stage in my life, a huge mortgage. I can't do it. I'm retired. There's no way.
Now, months into the process, Wilmot feels the DOT has been stringing her along. Despite being told eminent domain would take her property last June, an appraisal didn't take place until this February. Then, 2 weeks ago,
finally he showed up with seven pieces of paper, not even the whole appraisal.
Wilmot doesn't want to say how much the state has offered to pay her, but she says it would cover her mortgage. Still, it's not what she was hoping for, partially because of another aspect of eminent domain. The DOT can decide it will buy only a portion of an individual's property, leaving that individual with whatever remains. There's a series of painted wooden stakes in Wilmot's yard. Connect the dots and it goes diagonally through her house, leaving a large parcel at the front, which the DOT will buy. But there's a smaller pie-shaped piece in the back. If the DOT gets their way, Wilmot's property will go from more than half an acre to
0.289 parts of an acre, because they say they don't need it. Well, I don't either.
At some points, it's roughly 20 feet wide, says Wilmot.
So it's like from my deck to the fence.
And that pie shape, she adds, makes it unusable.
And if I keep it, that means I had to pay city tax, county tax, and then I have to mow it.
Now, it's important to note the DOT has a financial responsibility to keep their offers as low as possible. Every dollar they spend acquiring a property through eminent domain is a taxpayer dollar. And the DOT does give property owners the ability to negotiate, says spokeswoman Jordan Ashley Walker.
They do have the chance to make a counteroffer. And there are times when we do settle based on an agreement between their offer and our offer.
If a settlement isn't reached, the landowner can opt for a jury trial to try to get more. As for Wilmot, she's now hired an attorney to try to force the DOT to buy all of her land. State law requires the DOT to purchase what are deemed uneconomic remnants in eminent domain cases. That's what Wilmot believes she's left with. For landowners in eminent domain cases, the fight over how much they get in compensation is a difficult one. But even that can be overshadowed at times by just when that money is paid. That story tomorrow. For WFAE News, I'm Tom Bullock.